Toronto.
I'm Sam McKee. Thrilled you're alongside me on this beautiful Saturday morning in the GTA. Get right into the weather report. A high of 26 today. I'm looking out my window here. The sun is shining. Low of 17. Tomorrow, very, very similar to that. Looks like a downright splendid day in the GTA if you're heading out to tee it up. If you are heading out to tee it up, the text number is 590-590. You can text me. Tell me where you're going to go hit some balls. You know, nicest course you've played so far this year if you want to text me that. Course you want to play before the end of the year if you want to let me know on that. Just a really, really nice weekend in the GTA. Maybe a little bit of thunderstorm tomorrow night, but for all those 9-to-5ers, this is what you pray for. This is what you look for when you're hoping for some golf. A beautiful weekend. And as always, the golf show was presented by your Ontario Subaru dealers. Welcome to uncommon performance in a Subaru with legendary, symmetrical, full-time, all-wheel drive. And I believe, according to technical director Derek Brandeo, we are joined on the line by my friend and yours, Brent Gunning, the man who usually talks first in the show, and I'm doing it such a great job. I might say, Gunner, would you say that I'm doing a good job so far?
You're doing such a good job that when we're doing morning show next week, I think you need to age here. You're a beast here. This is unbelievable. You just got yourself some extra work next week. You're crushing it.
Boy.
Great Subaru read. Set up a text question.
Thank you.
Oh, brilliant.
Thank you.
Can I, before we get into stuff, give my answers on your two little text questions there?
Yes, absolutely.
Nicest course, because I have to brag. You were there when I did it. St. George's. If that's the nicest course I play before I die, that's totally fine with me. Very, very beautiful piece of property there. And place I'd like to play this summer, up in your neck of the woods. I always see it on the commercials. It's got that beautiful lighthouse. I'd love to play Cobble. It's just one of those tracks. It's like it's in the vicinity-ish, but also far enough that it feels like a trek. So that's the one for me. I know you've played it a million times, but that's the one for me, I think.
Well, Gunning, I have some information for you that you may or may not know. I am getting married at the end of this in October.
I hadn't heard.
And you may or may not be invited to that wedding. So if you want to circle that, it's a later wedding in the day. You know, I think it's a 5 o'clock start. Maybe I should confirm that with Allie. But yeah, little 8:30 tea time. Little 8:30 tea time. You get out there, you get home, you get showered, you get suited and booted, you're ready to rock. So I think I would suggest that.
Okay.
So
okay,
I got to ask you something. I got a few things for you here. So you're at a bachelor party this weekend, correct?
I am. I have sent myself to the car because I didn't want to be too loud or other people were being too loud, depending on which half of the bachelor party we're talking about. Yes.
Cars, sneaky great acoustics. It's actually a great spot to do a radio show from because you're nice and tight. You know, you can't hear the outside
problem,
world.
The only problem with it, and I am literally baking in the sun. There's a sauna in the cottage, and I didn't go in it because it was too hot for me. And now I've just agreed to sit in one for a half hour to talk to you about golf.
And you're flapping your gums, so it's all hot air flying out of your mouth as well. So you're just dying right now. So as part of the bachelor party, because you're up in my neck of the woods, up in the Collingwood area, correct?
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
So as part of this bachelor party, there was some golf involved, if I'm not mistaken.
There was.
So
there
let me get your thoughts. So you're playing again today. What are your thoughts on the bachelor party golf sort of culture? Because I'm always stuck in the middle on this. I don't necessarily love it because, you know, I like to go out and play golf and have some fun. And, you know, like, I care about my score and I don't want to have it be where, you know, it's just about the getting hammered and having a great time. But at the same time, getting hammered and having a great time on the golf course can be a lot of fun. So where do you land on the bachelor party golf culture?
I feel like I have kind of perfected this a little, and this has been the blue. It's funny. I feel like I've stayed in this exact same cottage like three times in the last 5 years to do this.
Yeah, that's a popular spot up there.
Yeah. So I think what the move is that you have a round on the way up on Friday for golfers. People who want to play golf, you want to do the round you're talking about. You want to care about your score. And yeah, like you're on your way to a bachelor party. You have a cocktail or two. Like it's not, you know, it's not church out there. Like we're still having a time, but you have a round that is for people who care about that. And then today we're packing everybody who's here. into cars and we're going, and they're guys who golf once a year. They're maybe people who've never golfed before. And it's just like, that's fine for the one day. But I think that I think it's the move to have an outlet for like the actual golfers to go play golf, and then to have one outing that is the bachelor party golf day. I think that's the sweet spot of both worlds. And then if you're a sicko like me, you have another golfers only on the way home.
Attaboy. That's what we like to hear. So what courses are you playing up there? Did you play yesterday?
Yeah, so we played this place. I'll be honest. A foursome turned into a sixome for the last three holes. So I don't necessarily want to give the name. No, I'll give it out. We were out at Duntroon Highlands up here. Really cool course. Okay. Lots of elevated tee shots. Really tricky greens to kind of figure it out. It was a lot of fun. Really enjoyed it. But yeah, that's the big thing about it. Just tons of elevated tee shots. Really, really cool. I got paired up for the first half with this elderly guy, and he was an old club pro, so watching him kind of saunter around, just perfect shot after perfect shot, was tons of fun. But yeah, and then we kind of switched it up, met up. We had like a foursome and a twosome there, so we kind of switched it up at the turn, and yeah, it was great. And then, to be perfectly honest, I don't know the name of the place we're playing. It's in Meaford. I don't know,
the name of the track. Oh, my God, Meaford. Yeah. My neck of the woods. You're killing me.
Shout out to Jeremy, who loves our F1 takes. I know he'll be thrilled to hear that we're out in that neck of the woods. So, yeah, I do not know the name of the place. But to be perfectly honest, you know, the golf is
doesn't matter.
Is unfortunately secondary today. Yeah, it's going to be a scene. So to everyone in Meaford, look out and bear with us.
So that's funny because you said the sixthums, and that made me got me thinking about our boy Johnny out at Dundas Valley with the fivesomes.
Oh,
so you got me thinking
that's
about
right.
that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they play a little quicker out there than you guys are going to be playing today.
So, just a touch.
So you mentioned the old guys that play well. That reminds me of my trip out to Lacombe there, you know, playing old guys who make no mistakes. It's a lot of fun and very hard. So we don't need to get too.
No, we do. When you weren't there, I was teasing the crap out of this. I was going to get the betting line for your match against Walker. So the people are invested. If you haven't taken your victory lap, and I don't think you have because I heard you do your great intro, do it. You are the third flight winner at the men's Lacombe Open, waxing our boy Andrew Walker when he mentally crumbled down the back, and then you gutted out a victory against an old guy in a playoff. Like, come on, take your victory lap, man.
It was great. It was really fun. First time I'd ever played competitive golf. Yes, I beat Walker. The hardest match was obviously the final, but the Saturday, the second one I played on Saturday, the guy was just lights out. I had to play lights out to beat him. But yeah, I'll spare all the details because, you know, no one needs to go shot by shot. But what I will say is that it involved a birdie bomb on the 16th hole to avoid going down two on 16, 40-footer down a hill. I parred 18 to send it to a playoff, and on the first playoff hole, the guy I was playing had a 4-footer for the win, and he missed it. And here's the thing.
Oh, my God.
Gunner, I did an old-timey little trick. I didn't even know I had this in me. But I stood sort of, not in his eye line, but I went to the back of the green, and kind of where he could see me, but where he kind of couldn't see me. Like, not in his line, obviously. It wasn't like standing behind the hole.
Yeah, yeah.
And Gunner, you know what I did? I took my hat off. Took my hat off. Like, I was
what
ready.
What a move. Game
like I was ready. Like, I was ready to shake hands. You know, game over. You're not. There's no chance you miss this 4-footer for the win. And he did. So I ended up winning the Lacombe Men's Open, the only trophy I'll ever win. Because next year, if I go back, I have to be in the second flight. And I saw some of those boys in the second flight, and I will not win a match. So third flight champions, those flags fly forever, Gunner. So there we go. But I wanted to talk to you about the Open after all.
Quickly,
we should probably talk about the Open here.
All I can think of you saying you took your hat off, and I know it's the opposite scenario, is our favorite video of all time of Tiger taking his hat off and the edited version against Abe Anser in the President's Cup when it looks like the putt still has 47 feet left and Tiger's taking the hat off. Okay, yes, we should probably talk about a men's golf major. That seems like an important topic.
Okay, so the first thing I want to talk to you about is Tiger Woods. And I got to tell you, you know my thoughts on Tiger and how
– Yep.
I've kind of been mixed, and it's been tough for me to watch, and I would not say that the first round was any different for me. They definitely showed him a lot less in the second round, which I appreciated, but the moment that they showed of him walking over the Wilkin Bridge for the last time, you know, probably in major championship competition, and having a guy that used to be an absolute killer assassin, just no emotion, just emotionless. And having him break down, have him have his head in his hands, walking over the bridge, the people roaring. Gunner, that video is one of the ones, like, that is a classic, you know, 30 to 40-year-old guy tear-up video, and that got me tearing up. That's an incredible piece of history that we'll always have, and I'm just so happy he got to have that moment, Guns.
It's really awesome, and I keep wondering if there's, like, in his mind, even if he would never admit it, a bucket list item of quote-unquote those moments. Like, I think the problem is like, and we've talked about this, I am, if I'm not all the way there, I'm basically where you're at on Tiger in terms of, like, it is just sad. Like, I get myself talked into it every single time, and it looks like it does. But the problem is until, it feels to me like until he has one where he is kind of in the mix or he does flirt with it, he like refuses to go out like this. But I wonder if he has a moment on the Swillican Bridge, whatever his version of that is at Augusta, you know, if there are these other three or four venues in the game, and I don't know if there are. It's just, I wonder what it's going to take for him to give himself the swan song, because we all want to give it to him. That moment was incredible. And it's like, if that was the last moment, and it won't be, I want to be so clear about that, because I mean, he's going to play the Masters forever, but he'll probably try to play the others. It's like, imagine if that was the last moment in Tiger Woods' competitive major career. Like, how amazing would that be for him to sail off at the home of golf where they love him, his favorite course ever, and he has that moment even though he completely pooped the bed this week. It's just, he won't allow himself to have it, and that to me is the most frustrating thing about what's happening with Tiger. Like, it was such a beautiful moment, and it's like, why won't you just let that be the champagne shower send-off?
Yeah, it's kind of how I feel about it too. So I it's just did I DM you or send you the picture with that the Iman Leach tweeted out?
No, I don't think so. No, I didn't see this. No.
So I'll send it to you after we're done here. But his tweet said, "History St. Andrews style. As Tiger tapped in what might be his last putt at the Old Course, Sheila Walker watched from her upstairs window in a small building to the left. She is the great-great-granddaughter and only surviving relative of our boy, old Tom Morris."
Yes! Old Tom, that's amazing. He has to quit then. Think about it. The through line from old Tom Morris to his greatest of great-granddaughters to Tiger. Like, oh my God, it's just, that's incredible. And that's why it's so frustrating that it wouldn't happen there. Like, we always think of Augusta as Tiger's, like, home at the PGA Tour, and it forever will be. But it's very clear that that place means so much more to him in terms of the history of the game and everything. And it's just, God, what a send-off that'd be. Like, the serendipity of that, I had no idea about that moment. That's incredible.
Yeah, so you can go to Iman Lynch's Twitter, or you can go to my Twitter, follow me at Sam A. McKee, and I retweeted it. So if you want to go on and have a look, go to have a look there. So I guess I'll get this in here now, Gunner, before I head to the leaderboard. This British Open update is presented by your local Ontario Subaru dealers. Welcome to Uncommon's performance in a Subaru with legendary symmetrical full-time all-wheel drive. So I'm looking at this leaderboard here, Gunner, and this is a delight. Like, I don't know if, you know, I think I have a hard time with one of the major championships being a real birdie fest here. Like, even the guys that are going out this morning really don't seem to be having too tough a time with it, other than John Rahm, who I have on my screen here, who, this will surprise you, Gunner, he's shocked a putt didn't go in. Like, he's shocked that it didn't go in the heart of the hole. God, he's been insufferable with those. But what you will see here is it is setting up with every big name in the sport. Like, the leaderboards at the majors this year have been so unbelievably good. So what are your thoughts looking at the leaderboard heading into Saturday and Sunday at the Open?
So my first thought, and it seems weird to start with this guy, is Cameron Young officially here. Like, this is he is officially getting dude status now. You keep showing up in big moments, and you look the way he does. Like, he looks like an athlete. He doesn't even necessarily look like a golfer. Like, you can picture him playing second base for the Jays. I don't know. Maybe that's just because of his because of the MLB sponsor on his sleeve there. But first things first, like, this guy is a person now. Like, be on watch. He will not. I'm gonna say there's no world where he comes out this weekend because of everybody else there. But he is officially on watch now. But then let's just run it through. Cam Smith 13 under, Cam Young two back, Rory McIlroy 3, Hovland 3 back, Dustin Johnson, Tyrrell Hatton, Scottie Scheffler, Kevin Kisner, who isn't one of these guys, but God, we love him. And then your boy, Bryson DeChambeau there, along with a bunch of other guys at T8. It's incredible. It is outside of the Tiger miracle contention run. There is literally nothing else you could ask for. And I think maybe the most important part of that, just from like, I don't want to see it, but from a storyline perspective, is you have some live guys in the mix here competing. It's been such a thing of, will they be able to do that? And the funniest thing is, like, you know, I know you love Bryson the most, but I feel like even me, someone who's very anti-live, is like, okay, but if DJ wins, that's different. I still love DJ. Like, it is just an incredibly loaded leaderboard. And the perfect thing is you have a mix of guys who have done it, who have won majors before, and guys who are still looking to scratch that first one off. So it's going to be, and then just the fact that it's like, there are choke factor guys in here. Like, you know, I love them, but who knows what we're going to see out of Rory in an hour and a half time when he gets out there. We saw what happened to Cam Smith at Augusta. Look at the position he's put himself in. Can he do something with it? Like, just up and down. And then I did mention him, but Tyrrell Hatton, like, he's going to blow up one way or another. He's the Englishman with the best chance at it, so we know how they feel about that in Scotland, so-so at best. And then if he blows up the other way, you want to talk about a guy who shocked something didn't work out for him, Tyrrell Hatton's your man. So it is everything you could possibly ask for. And then even, like, the golf nerdy guys, like Thomas Peters. Like, I remember this guy at a Ryder Cup, I want to say it was like two or three Ryder Cups ago with Rory, and it looked like that was going to be Europe's stalwart team forever, and then he kind of got lost in the wilderness. He's been back. He's been playing really good golf on the DP World Tour, and he's off to a hot start today, and he's right there at T8 too. So I love this leaderboard. Hipsters and the big studs. Golf hipster guys and big studs. It's perfect.
So I got to ask you about the DJ thing, because you brought it up there. I don't know how you can answer this question or what the answer to it is, but, like, how do you think the tour handles a live guy winning a major? I guess it's not their thing. It doesn't necessarily matter. But it's like, you know, the RNA, we can talk about how they've handled the way, you know, the tee times they gave Phil and Bryson, you know, putting Bryson with John Daly, which is a delight. I mean, don't get me wrong here. That's incredible. And, you know, some of the coverage, like, you weren't seeing them as much. But, like, how do you think it's going to be received if DJ finds a way to pull this out? Because I'm really fascinated in that.
I think in the wider game of golf, like the you and I is talking about it, when they're looking at it on Golf Central, on Golf Channel, when they're breaking it down, it's going to be an interesting thing of, wow, did DJ prove that you can win without having to have the reps that you get week in, week out on the tour? Now, the thing I'd say about DJ is that he's very advanced, and not very advanced in his age, but he's been doing this for so long, and he was never a guy who grinded week in and week out on the tour. So from a kind of just perspective of what does it mean, I don't think this proves a Taylor Gooch is going to be able to compete in majors all the time on live, or even a guy like Bryson, whose game is a little more volatile. I mean, the highs are so high, but the lows are so low. In terms of the reception he's going to get there, I think because he has accomplished so much in the game, there's going to be a little, okay, this is a legit champion. But I do think there's going to be a little, I don't know, there's going to be a little rub between the patrons there or whatever. I don't know. Do I have some fancy name for him over there? I know we're not at the Masters, but there's going to be a little friction between them and DJ. I don't think they're going to embrace him with open arms. This isn't going to be Shane Lowry walking down the 18th and the entire country is racing to give him a hug when he won back in 2019. I don't think it's going to be quite that, but it's not going to be, you know, booze up and down. Whereas, and I know you think I'm just taking a shot at the guy, but whereas if it was Bryson, I do think it's a little more in your face how upset they are about Liv. That would be my expectation anyways. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. I really want it to happen. I really do. And I know I'd be cheering for Bryson. Bryson's not going to win this baby. Like, he's really got to go nuclear for the rest of today and tomorrow for him to be in one of the final pairings or whatever. But, like, the way DJ played the last couple of days, he looked excellent. He just really, really looked great. And, you know, I don't know what will happen, so that's why I want him to win, to see what will happen. Like, there's a lot of people in the golf world that are, you know, in my Twitter feed, in my life, in my, you know, texts, quote-unquote, you, Gunner, maybe I'm getting at here, who have been extremely, extremely hard on the live tour. And, you know, for good reason. Listen, I'm not saying it's a perfect tour. There's a lot of issues behind it. But I would be really, really interested to see how people react if in the second major since the live has existed, right?
Yeah. That's right. The U.S. Open was the first one since it actually happened.
So the second major that this has actually existed, that one of the guys from that tour goes out and win. It would just be a really compelling and wild story for the world of golf.
If you want the chaos angle, I just think it has to, and it's not going to be. He's the only guy, like you said, who has a shot. But it just feels like DJ, it's like, even for someone like me, I'm like, eh.
It's too familiar.
It doesn't really count with DJ. It's weird. It's like, I don't know if it's because of the whole Wayne angle that we've just always kind of adopted him. He's a guy who for years, he was the biggest stud coming every year to play in the Canadian Open. Like, we just have such a familiarity with him. And like me specifically, I just feel a draw to him since I've started watching golf, that I have that much history that even though I don't like that he went to live at all, and I really wish he didn't, it's like, I don't hold it against them. It's like, you know, if a stranger does something, you can really judge him for it. But like, if your brother does it, you're like, eh, I'll let it slide. I don't love it, but I'll let it slide. And that's almost how I feel with DJ. I would love to see the reaction if it was literally anybody else. Cause it really feels like it really, like, I know every guy, like there are Phil guys who still like Phil, there are Bryson guys. I'm talking to one who still love Bryson, but I think that DJ is the lone guy from that kind of class who even the people who are anti-Liv are like, yeah, okay, but it's cool with DJ. Whereas Kevin Na is the exact opposite. Nobody liked him before, and no one likes him now.
All right, well, this very long-winded British Open update was presented by your local Ontario Subaru dealers. Welcome to Uncommon Performance in a Subaru with legendary, symmetrical, full-time, all-wheel drive. Now, two last things for you, Gunnar, before I let you go. I'll save Rory for the last because I know you love him so much. We want to get that in there last. But yesterday, Cameron Smith went absolutely nuclear, shoots a 64, and he made 225 feet of putts, Gunner. Now, my question to you is, how many years of your life would it take you to make 225 feet of putts?
Oh, my God. That's a great question. Will I live long enough and be able to walk long enough to make it? I don't know, man. That's incredible. Like, okay, so let's just do some quick back of the napkin math, and by that I mean I'm just gonna say some numbers and hope they add up because one, at a bachelor party, and two, math's not my forte in general. If I roll in a 10-footer, I'm thrilled. Like, not to say it's like, you know, Tiger-esque fist pump, but that's a great roll. I get, I don't know, a couple of those, four or five of those a summer. If I'm lucky, that's 50 feet. I don't putt my tap in, so I don't even get to count those. I think the gimmies are killing me in this. I don't know. Like, I think it's like, I think, is that a summer's worth of putts? Like, is that
I feel like
summer's
it is.
Worth of putts? Honestly, it's incredible. It's very Max Hughes of him to be draining all those long bombs.
Yeah, 64-footer for Eagle that he hit yesterday, which is just a ridiculously long putt. But oh, and I just put on had the open on here, and I looked at it quickly, and just in time to see Bryson getting a ruling, which is just perfect symmetry.
Perfect. But some Scottish guy he can't even understand, and he's like, no, another guy. Get me another guy.
So the other one I wanted to bring up with you before we get to Rory was Ian Poulter hitting the 163-foot putt.
Amazing.
The longest televised putt, which I think is very interesting. There has never been a longer putt than 163 feet. There's no way, right?
Well, okay, so there is one putt I'm thinking of, and it's so random that I would remember this, but they have this thing, I think it's called, well, I know the Dunhill Links is a tournament. I think this was the tournament. They have like a pro-am aspect of it. And Michael Phelps made one from the front of a green that I don't know if it was longer than Poulter's, but that to mind is the only one I can think of. And then, wow, I can't believe I remember this. I don't know if you remember this, but when Jack Nicklaus first opened up Mirfield Village when they redid it, and Johnny Miller wanted to because it was like a two-tiered slope green. Johnny Miller wanted to chip it. He's like, you can't putt it close. And Jack's like, oh, just hit a good putt. And he walks down there, and he doesn't even think, just whacks it. And because these guys, this is the thing, like the best of the, not the like, not the elite, but the truly greatest of greats, they're just magic and holy. And it's like, of course, he would, without even thinking about it, just hammer a putt in, hits the stick, drops. It was awesome. So those are the only two I can think of, but I don't think they're longer than Poulter's. And I can't believe I had those two examples to give you.
No, but I remember both those putts specifically. And you mentioned Michael Phelps. God, I get Michael Phelps a lot when people say I look like him.
Really?
My last thing. Yeah, I get it all the time. I got it this weekend when I was out in Alberta. I get it all the time. So the last thing I have for you is Rory. How is the Church of Rory? How are we feeling heading into Saturday here? You know, in the second to last group at the 150th Open at St. Andrews, this is a big weekend for the congregation at the Church of Rory. How we feeling, baby?
So, you know, in the media center, we love to testify. There's a lot of testifying going on after rounds one and two there. But it's nervous energy. You know, I'm not overly religious, so bear with me if I'm not nailing this exactly. But, you know, we got rosaries going on. We're praying. We're saying amen. We're saying Hail Marys. We're lighting candles. We're doing anything and everything we can to try to will our man to a third straight good round at the Open Championship. We don't need him to go nuclear today. We don't need it to be 7 under, but you got to put in that round of 69, 68. Just keep yourself firmly in the mix. And I tend to believe, I don't think it's going to happen like it almost did at the Masters, where he comes completely out of nowhere. But it feels to me like Rory wins his next major when he is in the third to last group, fourth to last group. He's kind of sprinting ahead of everybody. He can make a charge. He can play free and easy golf. Needs to start with a good round today. Just avoid the blowups. That's been the thing that I've been so, so impressed by him. It's the old Tiger. Like, it's not the birdie putts that are keeping him in the round or making his round great. It's the par saves, and he's just not having the blowups. He hasn't, that I can think of, he really hasn't had any bunker trouble yet where he's just found himself at the face of one of these pop bunkers and he's got to hack out. He just needs to avoid the big number. If he avoids the double, if he avoids the triple, I firmly believe he's going to be right there, because the way he's playing right now, he's going to make his birdies. Like, he just is. And the fact that we're into the weekend now, we don't have to worry about which side of the draw he gets on or which, you know, like what, how the weather is going to impact him versus the guys who are where he's at on the leaderboard. So it's just avoiding the big blow up. And the later we go in the round without it happening, obviously the more confident I am. But it feels like if he gets through four or five blemish free, we should be laughing today. But yeah, it's nervous times in the Church of Rory.
Good. So, and I guess this is the last thing I have for you. Do you have any financial interest in the next couple of days?
No, I actually don't. I really had very little feel at all for this tourney. The one bet I made was Tiger to miss, and so good job me, I guess. I have to eat that.
Way
I wore
to go,
it.
Buddy.
Yeah, I know. Good job me, right? I wasn't cheering for it, but yeah, that was the one. Look, it's the old happiness hedge, right?
Smart.
Like,
I
make some money or we get to watch Tiger. I just had zero feel for it this weekend. You know, there's something you talked about where there is a lot of luck of the draw type stuff with Lynx golf, and there is just a lot of that. You know, you hope you get the right kickoff amount. You hope you miss that bunker on the drivable par four that's dead smack in the landing area. Like, some guy is going to get a great break and take advantage of it, and some guy is going to get a bad break, and that won't be what undoes him, but it's how he reacts to that. And who knows who it'll be, but that feels to me like what's going to be the difference is, can you overcome the absolutely terrible break you're going to get in the next 36 holes?
So that's great. I do have a little bit of financial interest this weekend. I have a bit of a flyer. A certain gambling website offered me a free $10. So I put that free $10 on Vic Hovland, which I'm loving the look of right now. And I put a couple of my own hard-earned dollars on Matthew Fitzpatrick top five. So I'm hoping he can make a bit of a push this weekend. So those are my two things, Gunner. You're heading. I got a text from my mom about Meaford. She said there's one golf course in Meaford. It's called the Meaford Golf and Country Club. So
sounds good.
RIP to them. And all you guys going out there, you're gonna put a whole new meaning to the Valley of Sin on this open weekend. So have
Very
some fun,
true.
Buddy. I love you. I really, really appreciate you taking the time for him this morning. Go crush a few Coors. Have some fun.
That's right. We'll do. And listen to us on the morning show next week. So there we go.
Yeah. Talk to you a lot. See you, bud. Love you.
Take care. Bye.
So that's great talking to Gunner. Now, we got a few texts before we hit the break here. People texting in, which I absolutely love. Really appreciate it. Keep them coming. Tell me where you're playing today, where you want to play this year, where your favorite place you've played so far this year. And this is, of course, that I'm very interested in getting out to. This is from a nameless texter. Please put your names on them so I can read them out. But my favorite golf course is easily Black Bear in Belleville. I'd love to get out and play Royal Ashburn with me before the end of the year. So I think Black Bear is ranked this year in the top 100. I've heard it's really great. A bit of a hike from Toronto, but maybe I'll make the pilgrimage out there one time. What else do we have here? I got another text. Hey boys, John from Oshawa. We are golfing Blind River Golf Course in Northern Ontario. We saw a moose on the third hole. Now, how awesome is that? That is just, you know, that is Canadiana at its finest. Hopefully you're crushing a, you know, a Labatt's Blue and, you know, wearing a plaid shirt or something, because that's as Canadian as it gets. And the last text I got here before we hit the break and get to Rick Young. Whoa, golf show shout out. Made my morning, boys. Tell Gunner to take the boys out to Ted's Range Road Diner for some pints and the best cooked alligator in the area from our boy Jeremy in Meaford. Ted's Range Road. Wow. I didn't expect to bring that up on the golf show this morning, but what a spot that is. Went to a few birthday parties there in my day. Definitely had some alligator. There's lots of weird stuff at that place, but that's an incredible institution for the area up in Owen Sound. So thanks a lot for listening so far. You're listening to the golf show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm sure he'd like to be. It's Rick Young, who is a Score Golf columnist and the president of the Golf Journalists Association of Canada. What a big get by me on a Saturday morning. Younger, how are you doing today, bud?
I'm doing well, pal. I'd like to be going to the golf course today, but little something called the 150th Open Championship on, so yeah. I'm glued to the box today.
So it's hilarious because I got multiple invites this weekend around this time to play golf. And I just said, no, I want to watch golf. But at the same time, I love playing golf. So I had a tough time with it, but you know, I opted for the couch this weekend. I played yesterday at Don Valley. That's very close to both of our hearts. But I just wanted to get your thoughts on your emotions on watching Tiger up 18 at St. Andrews for the last time, potentially in competition. You know, I saw that picture of like a long lost relative of old Tom Morris sitting there watching him through the window. I have had a tough time over the past little while with how Tiger, you know, has been playing and the coverage of him, you know, at the Masters and everything. But I got to be honest, that video of him yesterday really, really hit me in the feels, and it got me pretty emotional, Younger.
Yeah, it was a good day. It was a good day to be invested in Kleenex, wasn't it? I mean, holy smokes.
I agree.
Yeah, you know what, Sam? I mean, this is this was one of those seminal moments in the game that don't happen very often, and
correct.
We may not see the likes, and we won't see the likes of this man again. I'm not willing to say that he's certainly done in the Open Championship, but I think what you saw yesterday was a nice compilation of bidding perhaps St. Andrews goodbye for the final time. And yeah, that got me right in the feels as well. I'm I'm kind of an emotional guy myself, and I for sure when Nicklaus left, that got me like nothing else probably before. But I think what Tiger did yesterday is he left us with just a little bit of a crack of the door that he might return to Royal Liverpool next year, at the very least. And, you know, in a bigger picture sense, I think now that this is done, Tiger needs to take stock, Sam, of what he wants to do and how he wants to do it. I think we both know what kind of a episode and escapade it is for him to get ready to play major championship golf. The big thing, the big takeaway for me this year is he only played three times. Like, I'm sorry, but it's very, very difficult for even a guy at his level, even at a place that he knows, like the back of his hand, to show up at St. Andrews between several weeks of a start and really expect to do well. His day on Thursday got off to a horrible start with the divot and everything. So, you know what? I think what we've seen and you know, going up 18 yesterday and the adulation of the crowd and Rory, Justin Thomas, I think what we're seeing is sort of a warrior that's in the final stages of his career, but he's still just got that little bit of a window, that little bit of a glimmer that there might be still something there, and I think that's what we're going to find out about here over the next, well, probably over the next 6 months.
Yeah, I would agree. So the next thing I wanted to get to you is St. Andrews itself, because you just put out a piece this morning on Score Golf about the required learning of the old course. And I'm so glad you did that, because I wanted to ask you about the course in general. And I listen, I've never been there. It's a bucket list item like you laid out in your piece. It's a place to go. But I'm not, I think it's maybe more personal preference, but I'm not the biggest Lynx golf guy. And to me, it's kind of hard to pick out the nuances of it while you're on TV. And it looks like, you know, it's not like I'm going to say it's a burnt out field at St. Andrews, but it doesn't necessarily look as spectacular as some of the other major championship courses. So if you were to explain it to me in the most sort of, I don't know, nuanced way, how do you sort of explain it to somebody who may not think it's the most perfect spot?
I think what you look at with Lynx Golf, and particularly with the old course being the ultimate test of Lynx Golf, mm-hmm. I think you look at it from the standpoint of over here in the world of parkland golf, where Sam McKee and Rick Young are trying to go from point A to point B as high as we possibly can and land it as soft as we can. Over there, because of the rumpled, I love Tom McBroom's, you might have noticed that in my piece, the word rumpled, and that's kind of St. Andrews. Mm-hmm. It's these rumples and this craggy sort of landscape. Jeff Mingay referred to it as a field, and what he means by that, of course, is because there's not too much delineation in the holes sometimes. You know, we just saw Bryson DeChambeau, you know, hit off the 17th tee with a big hook, and he was over in the second fairway. So, I mean, it's kind of one of those things that you have to experience. I've been over there. I've been to England, Scotland, Ireland. I would encourage you to do the same. I would encourage anybody to do the same that maybe doesn't have an appreciation for Lynx golf and what it actually is, because what you're going to get is a ground game. You're going to get all kinds of different things that you don't experience in a parkland type setting. You're going to get to play a putter from 50 yards out in front of a green site. You're going to get some of those crazy bunkers that you and I are you know, when we see and we watch an Open Championship. I mean,
well, I'm going backwards on that one.
Yeah, exactly. and I think that's where I think Bobby Jones never had an appreciation for the old course until he went back a number of times. I think other golfers have said the same thing. I think if Sam McKee went over there and played a week of Lynx golf, played some of the golf courses at St. Andrews, including the old course, I think you would start to really gain an appreciation for the ground game and what it actually means that in the bigger picture of golf. It's pretty special, and until you experience it, it's really hard to quantify. But I think hopefully I've given you at least a little taste.
Yeah, I think it's well said. And if I was playing a week over there, I probably wouldn't find the fairway once. I got too much spin on the driver, Rick. I can't play in the wind. Maybe it's just a personal thing. But if you had to choose, I mean, this is more coming down to you. If you're playing the nicest Lynx style course or the nicest parkland sort of North American style, which one are you going for?
Lynx. I absolutely, 100%. And not to dissuade, I mean, you know me, I love my golf. I love my golf everywhere. But if someone said to me, for the rest of your days, you have to choose between Lynx golf and say, parkland golf, I'm choosing Lynx every single time, and I say that with respect for the great parkland courses of our country, of North America, but there's just something I love the imagination of Lynx golf. I love the ground game. My father was really really good pitcher and chipper when in his younger days, I learned a little bit from him, so I kind of really appreciate the short game aspects of Lynx. And you know, if you go out to a place like Cabot Lynx, or even playing say a TPC north of the city, I think you get that same flavor when you play like TPC Heathland, for instance, you can kind of get that energy of what Lynx golf is. So yeah, I mean, for me, I play a lot of golf at Tarrandowa, here at between London and Woodstock where I live, and I love it. It's just my favorite way to play.
Yeah, I love that TPC. I mean, not to make it into a commercial about TPC, but the one thing that makes that place great is, you know, you can play the Heathlands if you're into the style, and I played that within the last month, and it was just in such great shape with such a great course. But then you go, you know, a 5-minute cart ride away over to the Hoot, and it feels like you're in South Carolina. That's what makes that place so cool, is the different styles. But
pretty amazing.
Yeah, so I love getting your opinion on that. So we're heading into Saturday at the Open. Like you said, it's a big couch day. You're looking at the leaderboard, Younger. What are you looking at? Is it Rory? Is it, you know, maybe one of the live guys and DJ? Or I guess Bryson made a double in the back nine, so he won't be part of the conversation this weekend. But what are you looking at the leaderboard heading into Saturday at the Open?
Well, I mean, I think if you're, your name is Cameron, you got a nice play here. My next Cameron here or something. But look, I think the leaderboard has this. There's an opportunity for this leaderboard to really grow to a point where I think there is a possibility, unless somebody runs away. The wind is up a little bit, so it's running about 15 to 20. Now, I think once the leaders tee off, if the forecast holds, that wind could lay down, and if it does, then I think all bets are off, and it might be like literally like a five or six guy race. And do I like Rory? Yeah, I do like Rory. I just feel like 150th Open Championship being such a special seminal moment of, you know, for the game. I think that will demand a very special type champion, and I just feel like, you know, you and I saw what Rory did at St. George's last month. Such an impressive week for him to get back into the win column. He's played super well since. His putter and his short game are magical right now. And man, he just loves being around St. Andrews now. So I like Rory. You know, to be holding the claret jug tomorrow afternoon. If it can't be him, then yeah. I mean, I think it's hard to ignore Scheffler as the world number one at 8 under. I mean, he's 5 out of the lead. Cameron Smith's going to have to maybe come backward a little bit, but you have to like Scheffler. You know, you saw what Kisner did today already at 7 under par. I think you go up to the top there, and yeah, Victor Hovland, Dustin Johnson are sitting there at 10 and 9 under respectively. So. Mm-hmm. Cameron Young is there as well with Cameron Smith. It's a two shot lead that can disappear at St. Andrews in a heartbeat at the Old Course. But if I'm a betting man, and I'm not, but if I am, I'm liking Rory to be holding the claret jug tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, and I think that would be a pretty fitting, like you said, it's such a huge event, and, you know, the 150th at St. Andrews, you want a fitting winner like that, and boy, you know, you talk about this course being somewhat scoreable right now, you know, you look at Cameron Smith shooting a 64 yesterday, but it gets to Sunday, and you're within a shot or a shot ahead or something. The scorability of the course can definitely go down when you can barely keep your hands steady when you're trying to make a putt. So I'm hoping for Rory too, because he'd be a great winner for this tourney. So Younger, I really appreciate you taking the time for this morning. Before the snow flies, let's tee it up this year, okay?
Sounds good, Sam. Thanks for having me on, pal.
Really appreciate it, buddy. Talk to you later. So, Younger works for Score Golf, and Score Golf is just putting out their top 100, which, you know, I think it's every 2 years they put out their top 100 courses, which is something for me where I always really keep an eye on it, because, you know, I've got, in this job that I have now, I've really, really been blessed to be able to play a lot of great courses around the GTA and even around the country. I was out west in Edmonton this past weekend. It wasn't a top 100 course, but it was an incredible course. Lacombe had a blast. Third flight champion, not a big deal. But I've just been really, really lucky to be able to play a lot of these courses, and Score Golf does such an excellent job of doing a comprehensive breakdown of the top 100, and it gives me a chance to sort of write them all down and, you know, keep track and see where they go and see where they don't. And I was mentioning TPC Toronto there with Younger, and they now have three. They still have their three courses in the top 100. I think the Hoot came in at 41, which is the best of the three, then North and the Heathlands. So really happy for them up at TPC to have those three courses. But yeah, I'm really, really appreciative of all the work that Jason Logan does and Younger and everybody over there. Man, it's just a really big undertaking to go out and, you know, go to all these courses, rate them, have all the people to travel. So if you're looking for somebody out there that is looking to potentially rate some courses, if Logan, if you're listening, give me a text because I love playing golf and I love rating courses. So there you go. So heading back to the text line now, I had talked earlier about Black Bear in Belleville, and the nameless texter texted back. He said, it's Corey from Port Hope. He said, Black Bear is absolutely worth the hike from Toronto. Bring bug spray, but a beautiful track for sure. I will say that this is something that a lot of people in my life get annoyed with me about, is that I don't really get bothered by bugs. You know, I can go to a golf course and sure, they can be zipping around my head a little bit, or sure, they can, you know, be landing on my shoulder or landing on my leg or whatever, but they really don't bite me too badly, quite honestly. Like, I get a little bit of a maybe here and there, but I get pretty lucky with that. So maybe I'm a good spot for Black Bear, and I'd like to head out there, maybe make the pilgrimage out there before the end of the summer. This next text, who we got here, Daryl from Horseshoe Valley. Settler's Ghost is a great track for your golfing dollar. It's always in great shape, and the greens are a fantastic challenge. Daryl, really appreciate the text. That's up near Barrie. I've played Settler's Ghost a lot of time. I actually lived in Barrie for a couple years, maybe in the early 2010s, and I played a lot of golf at Settler's Ghost, and I agree. That's, if you're in the Toronto area and you want, you know, if you're driving out to TPC, if you're driving out to Burlington, if you're driving out to Ajax or whatever, it's all within the hour range, and Settler's Ghost would probably be an hour 10 from West End Toronto, maybe an hour 20 from the East End of Toronto. It's a really cool course. Lots of different elevation changes. If I do remember correctly, there's one that has like a big barn on one of the holes. It's very, very cool course. So I'm glad you texted that in, Daryl. Appreciate that. I've played that many times. What else do we have here? Chris from Caledon says, my favorite course for sure is Hockley Valley. Pristine course, mandatory golf carts. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you, Chris. Like, that's not necessarily a selling point for a course because it's a ski resort, apparently. Okay. And no bunkers? There's no way. So there's just no bunkers. You can only take carts. I don't know. I don't necessarily love playing out of bunkers, but I also love the challenge of having to do it once in a while, at least the threat of it being there. So I've never played Hockley Valley. I'm not sure even where that is. Maybe it's near Toronto. I'm not even sure. Maybe Orangeville area, if I'm not mistaken. But that's thanks a lot for the text, Chris. Really appreciate it. And the last text I got here from Jay Peak in Montreal. And it says, hi, do you have any idea why the Open has never been played in Wales? Could you post the question to your knowledgeable listeners? Thanks. I'm posting the question. I have no idea. I don't even know if that's true. Has it not been played in Wales ever? It seems like a weird sort of misstep by them. I have no idea. So you pose it to me. I'm the host of a golf show. Seems like something I should probably know, but I truly have no idea. So I really appreciate all the texts this morning. I really appreciate my boy Brent Gunning getting up after slugging a few Coors to join me and talk some golf. I really appreciate my boy Rick Young from the from Score Golf and the Golf Journalists Association of Canada for joining me this morning. Chat a little golf, chat a little course design, tell me why I'm an idiot for not liking Lynx Golf. I just, like I said, I got way too much spin on the driver. I need the protection of the trees. I need that Parkland style where I can just, you know, be protected so I don't have to hit a 5-wood because I can't control the driver at the moment, although it was a little better the past couple rounds I've played. So if you're heading out today, maybe put on a little sunscreen, you know, enjoy the day. What I always like to say when you're playing golf, you know, go out there, enjoy yourself. Don't take yourself too seriously. Play well. Play fast. Play fast and just have a great time. It's a beautiful day for the golf and the beautiful day for golf in the city of Toronto and the GTA. Have some fun, guys. And you've been listening to The Golf Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.